Thank you so much. My emotions is high because I was saved by reading this Bible, by reading the scripture. And so each time that we can proclaim, my car is full of Bibles, always waiting in the McDonald's for some people, Spanish people that want to have questions. And I told him I have all the answers. It's in the truck. And we get the Bible and put it together. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, without your word, we have nothing to say. And without your spirit, we are helpless. So give us your word today and let the spirit show us your way. In Jesus we pray, amen. Turn your Bible to the book of Isaiah today on chapter 55 of the book of Isaiah. This month has been a month selected. As you know, I preach by topics every month, one topic. This month is about Bible invitations. We study in Genesis 6 and in Genesis 7, come in and come out. The two invitations that God made to Noah, come in the ark and then come out of the ark, and what that means to us. We study the invitation that Moses made to an unbeliever, his father-in-law, come with me. What an invitation that God makes to us Gentiles, come with me. And then last Sunday we study the invitation, come in and let us reason together in Isaiah chapter 1, where God wants you and him meet together and reason about your life. Now today I bring an invitation to us believers, come in and be happy and be content and be one with God. May I read Isaiah 55 verses 1 to 3, just three verses, so that we can pull them apart and receive the word of God with gladness. He said, "Ho, everyone who thirsts," said the New King James. The word "ho" is in a Hebrew expression, means incline your ear to hear me. Reminds me of my grandmother, and my wife said, "Now remember, you are a great grandfather. Don't talk about your grandmother." But I can. The impression that she did in my life is still alive today, even though I'm going to be 80 very soon. She will say, "Now listen carefully," and she was chanting in Arab the Bible. And so here it is, "Listen carefully, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat." Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. "Why do you spend money for what it is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Let your soul delight itself in abundance." Verse 3, "Incline your ear and come in to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David." I want to make clear that this is an invitation to be happy, to be content. Very few in America, and in spite of the abundance of this country, very few people are happy. As you know, I watch the people carefully, and as I work in radio, I have a program I used to have in the airports, where I look to people and I ask them, "Are you happy?" That was the program, "Are you happy?" And maybe you get one and 8 hours work in a day, because everybody has worries. So God said to us believers, he's saying it is a place for contentment. And so I'm going to share the word of God with you. I'm going to pull every word on these three verses, if I can, in the few minutes that we have, and show you what God is saying. First, there is an invitation. And as you know, there is an outline in the church bulletin for you to follow. Then there is the opportunities that this invitation makes to us. And then there is the obligations that this invitation plays upon us. So we're going to see three things in this scripture. First, the invitation in itself. Then the opportunities this invitation bring to us. And then the obligation this invitation plays for us. All right, here are the invitation. Are you there? And Isaiah 55. You hold one hand in Isaiah 55 as we travel to the Bible to have the meaning of each word that is placed here. Now, there are three basic substance that God offered in this verse. Do you see it? In verse 1, he offered three things to you. He offered water, wine, and milk. All right? Now let's see what that means. You know, each part of the Old Testament is a projection to the truth of the New Testament. Each scripture of the New Testament is a revelation, is a hiding revelation of what is in the New Testament. And you know, my specialty on the New Old Testament, so to dig into that and to show you the New Testament afresh in that scripture. So we're going to take the invitation. Verse 1 said, incline your ear, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. All right? Water in the Bible often picture a new birth. Put one hand in Isaiah and go with me to a passage that you know so well in John chapter 3. All right? Water is portrayed as salvation, as Jesus spoke to Nicodemus. In John Gospel chapter 3 and in verse 5, there is a definition of that, what water means in the Bible. Jesus talking to Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a great eloquent professor of the law, he said, Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So water is related to salvation. Also, it is portrayed when Jesus took the women at the well. You're in John 3. Let's go to John chapter 4, please. And look with me in John chapter 4, and in verse 13, and in verse 14. Now Jesus is talking to a lady. This is a different environment, a different condition. And Jesus, verse 13, said, answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. They're talking about the regular water. They were at the well, and Jesus requests to drink water. And you know, she was a Samaritan. You know, conditions that a Jew will not talk to a Samaritan. She made him aware of that. And then they talk about the water, and he talks about that water of the well. He said, if you drink water, you are thirst again. But look at verse 14. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. So here is the invitation. The first invitation is come and be saved. That's the first invitation. Drink water. Drink the word of God. I keep telling people, you don't believe in God? Don't worry about it. Just here's the Bible. Read it. Where I started. Where will you start when you have a book? You start in Genesis 1. You're going to learn about creation. You're going to learn about everything that science discovered today is right there. And then you're going to learn how God speaks to his people and walk with his people and so on. It's just beautiful. And so water, the first invitation is be saved. See, because you cannot see God unless you're saved. Doesn't matter who you are, a Latin, an American, a German, an Italian, a Palestinian, like my grandmother, doesn't matter. You have to be saved in order to see God. So the first invitation is be saved. Be sure that when you die, and I'm going to deal with that in a minute, you know you are there with God. Number two, they offer in Isaiah 55, now in verse 1, is he offer wine, all right? Look at what the Bible said. Come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. It said, yes, come buy wine. just to test the sermon. I was in Nob Hill this week, and so I get two bottles of wine in the thing. So my wife is coming in, and she, what is this? I said, so I lift up the bottle, and I said, looks like wine. And she said, so why you have wine? You never drink wine before. I just read the scripture that God want me to drink wine, you know, and I just was pulling her leg. But it's just amazing. You know me, I like to be happy all the time. All right. The Bible offers wine. In the Bible, wine is a picture of joy. If you're in Isaiah here, move your Bible to the left to Psalm 104 in verse 15. And look at what the Bible said. It is a picture of joy. Wine is something that makes people happy. Psalm 104 and verse 15. And wine that makes glad the hearts of man. All right? Wine that makes the hearts of man very happy. All right? Now, there is a counsel in the Bible about wine. It is way on the right of your Bible in the book of Ephesians in chapter 5 and in verse 15. So let's take a look over there. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. And the warning is this, just as wine controls a person who is drunk, the spirit controls signs. So the wine is a picture, not only of joy, but a picture of controlling you. Look at verse 18. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit of God. In other words, salvation, as you know, God brings the Holy Spirit into your life. Romans 5 tells us that. Ephesians 1:13 tells us that. That the Holy Spirit comes and convicts you and moves you into life. So God said, be saved. Let the Spirit work on you. And then going back to Isaiah 55, verse 1, he said, he has come by wine and milk. All right? And I love this. Milk. In the Bible is always a picture of the Word of God. The best picture, if you move your Bible to the right to the book of 1 Peter, in chapter 2, 1 Peter, and in verse 2, you find that definition of what milk really is in the Bible. All right? As 1 Peter 2:2 said this, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereof. And so therefore the Bible makes that clear invitation. How can God make such a free offer to people like you and me? He can do that because His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, have come and died at Calvary Cross. And so I hope that you understand who you are. Most of the people don't know. I spend a lot of time in surgery rooms and with doctors. I remember Dr. McCormack brought me to know the board of surgeons, and I spoke for them. And I said, I think you don't know how the body is made. And every doctor was very uncomfortable in the meeting. And I said, what the body is made? It's made, the Bible said, in two times, in Genesis, of course, chapter 2, verse 9, and also in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. He said that we have a spirit, soul, and body. You are made of three parts, spirit, soul, and body. The spirit is the sparkle that makes you alive. When my daughter was studying in the medical school, she said there is a place here in David that is fascinating for you. It's called genetic engineering. And they want to discover, they are trying to study how we became alive. What is it that clicks and makes you alive? I said, just bring them a Bible. They will know. It's God. Nobody can make you alive. Nobody can make a conception. Only God can make it. And that's a beautiful, that's a great proof that there is a God. And so here it is, you have a conception, you make alive, that you have a spirit, that you is you, then you have a soul, that's you. That's what later on in the 1800s, psychology and psychiatry came into the picture, to know you. This is you, See? And so here is what the Bible said, that the real you will live in two places, either in hell or in heaven, your soul. And we have a celestial body, said the Bible. Better looking than what I look today. That's wonderful. I will get my hair back. It's just beautiful. So here it is, the first invitation. Be saved, and as you be saved, let the Spirit of God speak to you. And then the fountain of information, the click that will make you alive is the Bible. 1 Peter 2:2. And also remember in Romans 10:17, said faith come by hearing. And hearing, no, Pastor Otero, hearing the word of the living God. So you cannot be saved by a dream. You cannot be saved by anything else, that the word of God, so the Spirit of God will work on you. So that's the invitation. Now, the opportunities of this invitation. What does the person who accept this free offer receive? Now remember, when somebody wants to give you something, I said, you always have to say, and what this imply to me? And so, you know, advertising said, we want to give you this free. All right, thank you. Now, what is my responsibility after I receive this free stuff? Well, always there is a strings attached. And so there is a strings attached. So what does the person who accept this free offer really receive? There are two verses that reveal at least three opportunities that await those who receive the Lord's free offer. The first opportunity is in verse 3, the opportunity for salvation. Look at verse 3. Incline your ears and come to me. Here on your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. This is salvation, an everlasting covenant with you. We can go all over the New Testament, but my favorite verse is Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. It's just a remarkable verse that shows us the greatness of God. Romans 6 and verse 23 said this, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is not a new house in Lake Anderson, not a new car, BMW or Mercedes or Maserati, which is my favorite. Know that. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, that's the gift of God. And so what are the opportunities? The opportunity of salvation. When you take the word of God as it is and you believe what God has done, then God give you as a gift everlasting life. Your soul, your spirit and your soul goes together, and your soul will live forever, not in hell, but in heaven. I never forgot, I was flying to Mexico and a lady was a Jehovah Witness beside me. So I'm reading my Bible. She asked me, do you know what you read? I said, I'm a Jehovah Witness. So I knew the husband was in another role. And I said, my dear lady, I'm going to open the Bible in Revelation 20. And I'm going to show you where I'm going to be when I'm saved forever in heaven. And then I want to show you what you maybe be when you are in hell. And so, you know, and boy, she stood up. The stewards got to come in. This is not true. Oh, she made a scandal. And the poor husband don't know what to do. So I said, I'll be quiet. May I read the Bible? No, I said, don't read the Bible. Well, I had to read the Bible. And you know, some people cannot believe it. And I understand that. I didn't. But I, you know, when you're 12, 13, 14, 15, and you have the lucky star that you become a soccer player in a good team, you forgot about your need, your personal need. You're thinking yourself, how great you are, and rather than yourself. And the opportunity for salvation. This is the opportunity of the invitation. Then the opportunity for satisfaction. Look at back in Isaiah 55, and in verse 2, look at what the Bible said. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? As your wages for what does not satisfy. If you go to your garage, and this is for Americans, if you go to your garage, you see all the things that you never use. You use it once, all right? I do that, the same thing. So this tool is so sharp. It's so, I bought it, I use it once and never use it again. All right? Here's verse 2 again. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully. Now, when God said that, how wonderful. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. And here it is. And let your soul delight itself in abundance. Wow. How come, I said to myself, Christians are unhappy? I have a man in McDonald's who always said, I'd like to talk to you because you're a happy man. I said, well, I am rich. He said, really? Yeah. He said, how much money do you have? Well, I cannot tell you. It's just amazing. And he's driving my old 1995 Lincoln over there. He said, well, you don't change your car. No, I'm so happy. He said, why? Well, I'm happy. See, I'm happy. Well, here is the answer. John chapter 10. Look at here. John 10, 10. Jesus said it with such a beauty. In John 10 and in verse 10, he said, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life. I mean life, your life. And that they may have it more abundantly. You know, the word abundantly is a very compound word in the original language. Really means over and above what you expect. Over and above. Now we have problems and difficulties and troubles, and you never know, if you have children, you never know what the next move will be on your children's, and you never know the anguish they maybe bring to your heart. But you have life, and life abounded. You have power in your heart. You have Jesus with you. Don't ever forget that. The opportunity for salvation, the opportunity for satisfaction. It is not in getting a new diploma. I have a great joy when I got the news on Wednesday that I have a grandson to become a doctor. And I call it. He took the exam, and I call it. And I say, Grandpa, you are talking to Dr. Nathan Palmer. You know how I cry so hard. Here's a boy that married my granddaughter, and the two have a good mind to pursue something and accomplish. But that is nothing to compare to the peace that I have with God. You know, I'm not perfect, so I can go to God, and sometimes I'm ashamed of myself, but the God is not ashamed of me, because Jesus died for me. So he cannot be ashamed of his son, so he's not ashamed of me. See that? And so you are always okay with God. Don't be afraid to go to him and say, God, I blew it again. And he was, I know it. Turn around. What a great God we have. So here are the opportunities of that invitation. Opportunity for satisfaction, and then opportunity for security. Look at Isaiah 55 in verse 3. Incline your ear, said the Bible, and shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. In other words, I have security with God. I will leave, and nobody can take what I have from him. And it's so clear explained in the Bible, in the Gospel of John, in chapter 6. If you go with me for a second to John Gospel chapter 6, in verse 37 to 40, I read it for you. Look at what the Bible says, John chapter 6. Verse 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out or reject it. So you can come to God and tell him who you are, and tell him that you love Jesus, and God will never reject it. Even if you're an American, God will never reject you. Verse 38, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of my Father who sent me. Now pay attention. This is the will of my Father. Have you made a trust for your home so that you are older and now you're going to die and you leave the things? Here's the trust that God made. See, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of my Father who sent me. Here's the will of God. That of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and will raise him up on the last day. Oh, when I went to my lawyer to do my trust, I said, I had two wills. Oh, no, you had to have one. No, I had two wills. One I signed with you, and the other God signed with me. Oh, that's the stuff. No, that's not stuff. That's the real stuff. That's the real stuff. My body may be cremated, my body may be thrown out, whatever, but me, the real me, will be in heaven. And the lawyer panicked, and he wanted to finish with me quickly. The opportunities of the invitation, salvation, satisfaction. Listen, the new car is no satisfaction. The new girlfriend or boyfriend is no satisfaction. God is the satisfaction. Do you really know God? Do you really talk to him like a friend? Do you use your sofa in some place in your home to kneel down and say, Lord, it's me. I'm frustrated. I have these problems. With me, improve me, move me, make me shine for you. How have you done this? It's beautiful. And then security. Never be afraid. If you know God through Jesus Christ, never be afraid. God will never pull you apart. Now, finally, there is an obligation in this invitation. All right? There is something you must have in order to get the invitation of God, and it's in verse 55, verse 1, at the very beginning. Look at this. He said, Ho, everyone, or incline your ears, everyone who thirsts. Goalies, when they play, they thirst because the sun is always, and the other people are running, but the goalie is there and it's thirsty as crazy. And they don't allow you to have water, but they allow you to have oranges. All right? And so across the post, in each post, there's two or three oranges cut for you. And so when the ball is on the other side, you can go and squeeze one. And that is wonderful. So you do it when you are really thirsty, and for 20, 25 minutes, you are no longer thirsty. And it's just so beautiful. Anyone, see, you cannot have Jesus unless you want Jesus. You cannot be saved unless you want to be saved. It's just important, all right? So here is this invitation. Here is this beautiful. You cannot be happy unless you want to be happy. People come to see me and say, I'm unhappy. Well, do you want to be happy? Yes. Well, then it's very good. God's going to make you happy. Do you know God? Yeah, well, you're happy already. Let's go to the street and ask 20 people if they know God. Nobody will know God. I did that in the post office. And the boss might have to say, but please stop talking because people are not coming. They live by your stamps. All right. There is something you must have. First, you must check yourself. I may be a doctor. I may be an engineer. I may be this and the other. But I do not know God. Where is God? I want to find out. And God's going to lead you. Secondly, there is something you must hear. Look at him four times. All right. There is something that you must hear, all right? Verse 1, he said, incline your ear. The King James say H-O, that is incline your ear. And look in verse 2, he said, why do you spend money for what is no bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me. God is speaking. Listen carefully to me, okay? Number 2. Number 3, verse 3, incline your ear. Number 3, hear. God, oh, the emphasis is to hear and to hear and to hear. You know, I'm looking forward that Acts 13:44 will be again seen in this world. Let me show it to you. Acts in chapter 13 in verse 44. Here is a wonderful. The Bible says, on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together. Almost the whole city. Can you believe that? Almost the whole city came together to do what? To hear the word of God. So there is an obligation that I'm responsible for the invitation. Number one, I need to have it once. I want to be saved. And number two, I need to hear the word of God. I need to hear the word of God. I need to hear the word of God. I grew up in a home that the Bible was everywhere. In French, as the missionaries from Switzerland will come in and read the Bible, I hate it. Can you imagine a 4 or 5 years old sitting for an hour and those French missionaries, and my grandma was very polite and the cup of tea and so on. And I said, Lord, what a torture that I have. There was no torture, it was a preparation. It was a preparation of my heart, all right? So you need to have thirst and you need to hear. And you need to hear. Very important, very important that this happened. So here's the invitation. I want you to be content. I want you to be happy. You Christians, and I'm talking about unbelievers. You Christians, I want you to have control of yourself. I want you to have serenity. I want you to have peace. And in spite of whatever happened in you and your life or in your family, I want you to look up. And I saw in Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 11 something that will help all of us. Philippians 4. In verse 11, Paul tells the church, know that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be what? Content. Philippians 4:11. I have learned. It's no, that means it's not easy, don't we? I have learned means that he went through a schooling, and the schooling is adversity. Adversity, you know. Remember, people say, I need to have patience. Hold that. The Bible said, in order to have patience, God will give you tribulations, one after the other. And after 20 years, then you learn. Oh, then you don't want patience. You know what it is. People don't read the Bible, don't find out what the Bible said. Paul said, I have learned to be happy. There was not the place he sleep. There was not the sandal that he have. He have a message. Jesus saved. And we have a message. And we live in homes where children are children and they're persons, and that they grow, you never know what way they will turn. I had 3 granddaughters and I had prayed for them. One took off to New Zealand to split the wine, to split the grape in pieces, and new fermentation techniques so that they can be these. And lo and behold, I look in the Facebook, and I see my granddaughter facing down with a rope. I don't know what you call it. They got so, mamma mia. I said, boy. I said, and if I knew, I'd send less money. You know, it's just amazing. You have no control of the children, but God has control of you if you let Him. And then you will have peace. Yes, there is soberness. There is a little sadness here and there, but you have peace. You have satisfaction. God is with you. God is in you, and God will honor you. No one of your children will end bad. They will turn around because God will honor you. I'm happy with God. I've been here 33 years. When we were 8 people in a room in Gilroy in a bank, and when this place was for sale, we bought it, cash. Now we out of the cash, and got it here. There was farms around here, farms. But I have a vision. God will have His church. No 1,000, no 2,000. God will have this, and then we have a radio. And when the radio tells me there's 7,000 people are listening, I say I want those people to hear God. And to heal their families and to heal their minds so that despite the turn of your children and grandchildren, you are secure that God will do the job for you. Amen. We have it. Let's not give up. Father, thank you. Thank you for the joy of the Lord is our strength. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that in your greatness, you have blessed us with this opportunity. This is an invitation not to look in the past, not to look in ourselves, but to look in what you are and what you do for us. Oh God, revive us again. In Jesus we pray. Amen.